Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Hello, Egg Chasers. This is the Egg Chasers Rugby Podcast, the podcast about rugby that doesn't take itself or the game too seriously. I'm Tim. That's JB.
Hello, Timothy.
That's Phil.
Hello, Timothy.
And we are ready for another podcast, rounding up a bumper weekend of rugby, a bumper week of rugby, in fact, which has seen the culmination, the end of the Rugby Championship, another bizarre week in the Avicii Premiership and Pro 14. There's plenty of other stuff besides, including we're going to announce our Egg Chasers road trip.
Ooh.
For this season.
It's not a road trip, mate. It's a tour. It's
a tour. Our tour. Our tier tour two. Our tier two tour two.
Yes.
Easy for you to say, Tim.
Yes. Right. So, but first, I would like to ask Phil, in your South Africa jersey that you're wearing today.
Yeah.
What's the most humble thing you've done this weekend? Humble
Ooh,
watch.
Ooh, that's a good question. I did give some clothes to charity this week.
That's nice.
I was very humble while doing it, of course.
Yeah, of course. Mm. JB?
I ate humble pie whilst watching Harlequins.
Yes, you did. Yes, you did. We'll get to that. I walked someone else's dog.
Oh, that's amazing, mate.
So, there you go.
My dog needed walking today.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah.
Did you do it?
No, my wife has been on
That's
at me.
Not humble.
Yeah, my wife has been on at me all day to do things that she's quite capable of doing herself, and it reached its pinnacle today when I went to the shop, asked her what she wanted, and she's incapable of actually saying I want X, Y, Z. So she came up with I'll have whatever you're having. So she's actually got herself a spare copy of the rugby paper.
Very good.
Have that.
Right, you can find us in all the usual places, or on Instagram, on Twitter, at Rugby Podcast, on Facebook, Egg Chasers. That's where you can find the information on our Tier 2 tour and other stuff, and where you can watch the podcast if you're not already. Hello to everyone watching on Facebook Live. Leave your comments, give your thoughts, leave your reviews as well. Joe Marler, we all thoroughly enjoyed his little video.
I did.
His little tweet post.
It's about time someone called out all this nonsense. It is just pure nonsense.
Some people took offence to it, by the
good,
way.
Good, good.
Did they?
Yes, I had a little back and forth on Twitter with someone who managed to find offence in that and saying it was offensive to people who clean up the changing rooms in changing rooms where the players don't do it. It was offensive to those people that have to go in and their job is to clean the dressing room.
I don't think he's actually attacking people that clean dressing rooms. Yeah. He's attacking people that don't clean dressing rooms, unless they're filmed.
Yeah, yeah, that is the point, isn't it?
That is the point. We talked about this on last week's podcast, CJ Stander's misses filming CJ Stander sweeping the dressing room. Sweep the dressing room. You don't need to make it a feature of your social media content.
That is why the All Blacks are so annoying. Because they make it a feature. You know, they're not just pulling... By the way, what kind of insane dickheads would they be, right? If these massive, muscular, athletic men gave their bags to small bellboys to carry upstairs. That would be the almost the definition of arrogance.
So you're talking about them unloading
trucks.
The
yeah, trucks. Like every...
Get to the cameras and the bags.
Like, because you see that on the rugby matches, when BT Sport show the teams arriving, you see all the players going to grab their kit bag from the bus. You know, no one's giving them a round of applause. Well done, guys. Yeah. Look at those guys carrying their own bags.
I carried my own kit to Port Sunlight yesterday. Doesn't make me a hero.
So Joe Marler was calling that out. But some people have wondered whether it was he taking the mickey out of CJ Stander's video? I actually think he was having a pop at the Hask. Because you remember Marla and Haskell had their little ding dong.
Yeah.
At Quinns v Wasps at the Rico.
Yeah.
The first picture James Haskell posted after that was that picture there, him in the dressing room eating a Cornish pasty with a broom, having just swept the dressing room, and the caption: "When you lose, sweep the floor," and a nice person hands you an amazing Cornish pasty, and the kit man catches you. Oh no, that was after the Exeter defeat. Beg your pardon. Anyway, but that was the first thing he posted.
So that's interesting, because today after the victory, the Saracens boys had a few Instagram stories.
Did they?
Of them being humble.
Oh, kill me.
Including one. Well, no, they were taking the piss.
Oh, Marla-esque fashion.
Okay, so we're okay now.
There was one of Baz Barrington sweeping the change rooms, eating a sausage roll.
So maybe it is. Maybe it is aimed at Haskell.
Maybe it is.
There you go.
Because he's eating a Cornish pasty.
Yeah.
With a broom.
Well. Interested.
These teams should practice. Should focus more on things like lineouts than sweeping. it's almost like having your best research scientists in Apple sweeping up the lab. It's an awful waste of talent and time.
Well, Saracens—they don't need to work on their lineouts. They don't need to work on their scrums. They don't need to work on very much actually.
No,
because they're doing some very good things.
They really are. Another highlight of the week is, and again, referring to the fact Phil's in a very tight South African jersey. Not that the fitted nature of it matters, but Malcolm Marks.
Oh.
We have unleashed another superstar.
Well, I've not actually seen this because I decided I'm not going to watch any more New Zealand games. I'm going to find out what the score is, and if they lost, I'll rewatch it. But I'm not watching not watching anymore, because it was agony, like the whole thing. Watching it on Twitter, seeing the box being continuously up, and then losing again.
It was a hell of a game.
It was a brilliant match.
Brilliant game. And it's the turnaround from South Africa 2 weeks ago, or whenever it was, they got hammered 3 weeks ago when they got hammered by New Zealand, was remarkable.
Mm.
They put in a really, really good performance based on defence. And not just... So they changed some of the structures in defence, but also just their commitment. When they got hammered by 50 points, they were falling off tackles, they weren't tracking back. In this game, probably 20 minutes in, New Zealand turn over the ball in their own 22 and go 70 yards. Milner Scudder beats three men, does a round-the-back offload.
Filth. A sort of kind of unnecessary as well, but that's what made it all the more...
Yeah, it was kind of unnecessary, but the number of...
Utter
so
filth.
The difference in the... So, brilliant by the All Blacks, the difference in South Africa compared to 3 weeks ago to then was there were... four South Africans around him when he made the offload. Three stopped Aaron Smith, who should have, in normal circumstances, have just glided in. And by the time there was one more ruck, the entirety of the South African defensive line had made it back 70 yards and were all in position. And they stopped New Zealand from scoring. It was remarkable. Remarkable.
New Zealand did butcher a few chances in that first half hour, which would have made it a very different game if they'd taken a couple of those chances. But
yeah,
entertainment-wise, it was great.
It was really good, and the last 20 minutes when it was switching around the scores.
By the way, what was the New Zealand result? The Argentina result?
It was 20-all. It was 20-all going into the last quarter, and then there was a questionable card. And I will have a very brief thing to say on cards. I'm not going to labour the point today.
Tim's card corner.
That was a questionable card, and that shifted the momentum, and Argentina ran out of steam, and Australia scored some late
so
points.
This must be the first championship where Argentina haven't won for about
six defeats.
About 5 years, because they always win one. In fact, they might have even won one in the opening year.
So they've got 0 points out of the tournament,
which is, I think, that's bad.
Mario Ledesma has given notice at which team's he at? One of the Aussie teams. No, with Australia.
Is it Australia? Yeah.
He's
given notice there. So you think maybe he'll take over Jaguares or something like that?
I think they need another domestic team, or they need to open up their selection policies to European players. Because it's clearly not working. I mean, just having one team underneath
the... What's the name of their centre? They've got one of
Orlando.
Their centres. Geronimo De La Fuente. What a name.
That is amazing, isn't it?
It is a brilliant name. They've got some brilliant players. They attack incredibly well. It was defence optional.
Do you think Marcelo Bosch should get in the team?
No.
he's a hell of a player. He's still playing really well for Saracens. He's
playing very well.
He's been in the conversation. Cool. So Issa and Imhoff would be two of the first names on the team sheet if they were available.
Mm.
Maybe someone like Figolo as well.
Oh, yeah.
Tight head.
Because I think all the European players don't play there now. You've got to be...
Yeah, after the World Cup, they kind of flipped it. And so it'd be interesting to see what they do in the run-up to the next World Cup. Because they were all available for the World Cup, and then they flipped to basically being the Jaguares and the Pumas the same team.
Which is no good. It just can't be. I mean, it's got to be fairly destructive if the same 15 lads are being coached one way, then they come into camp and they're coached a different way. Or if the Jaguares are awful in Super Rugby, which actually they haven't been great, and then they take whatever they're doing when they're awful and then try and play international rugby with it, it's just not going to work.
I think it could work. I think for whatever reason, it's not working. Mm. So, like, the idea, contractual stability, and the idea of getting the same guys playing with each other week in, week out is a solid one. But whatever they're doing, which we don't really know, it's not bearing fruit.
Whatever they're doing, they need to do something a bit different. Because I agree, we were all really excited about Jaguares and what a difference that could make. We were predicting it could be by 2019, it could really make a massive difference for Argentina. So I mean, it hasn't worked out like that.
Like, they're already World Cup semi-finalists. I mean,
exactly.
But they won't be on current form.
No.
Losing to England's B team in the summer.
Definitely won't be.
But back to your original point, Tim. Malcolm Marks.
Oh, yeah. Oh. Good player.
He was... phenomenal. He's such a good player.
I watched him in the Super Rugby final. I think that's the last time I saw him, and he was absolutely superb.
Yeah. He's kind of a bit of everything. So line-out's obviously very good. Line-out and scrummaging, both very good. He's a really strong carrier. And he was so disruptive at the rucks. He's getting in, getting low centre of gravity, and just not... can't shift.
There's no Northern Hemisphere hooker anywhere near Coles, Marks...
I disagree.
And even Creevy.
So forget Creevy. We've done this one. He's
all right, fine. Whatever.
So I would disagree on the Northern Hemisphere. I think Jamie George
would be my guy.
Hat-trick today.
Yeah, no, hat-trick today. Brilliant. And admittedly, he looks slightly bashful about getting the adulation of a hat-trick because he was standing on the back of a mall that was dominating for a couple of them. But... but yes, I'm not denying he's very good, but there's another. It's another level, Cole and Coles.
I don't think it is.
Marks.
I don't think it is, actually.
It totally is.
See, I'm not so sure.
I have noticed a little bit of a trend with you of late, Tim, and it's your reticence to give out compliments. So one thing you said yesterday.
Wasn't Malcolm Marks incredible?
Yeah, no. One thing you said last week, and I said, aren't England's back row options unbelievable? Like, the next generation coming through. And you're like, nah, they're not so talented.
No, I didn't say that. Didn't say that at all. I said the potential is incredible. However, I want to temper going too big on a guy like Underhill because, yes, he's got a lot of potential.
But we can agree Sam Simmons is of equal class to Kieran Reid after this weekend, yeah?
Oh, yeah. He's up there.
And Zach Mercer.
Completely. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's basically there now. Mm. Yeah. No.
No.
Mate, no. We'll come back on to that later, but I want to revisit England's back row options for the future because they are outstanding as it stands.
Some good options.
Well, Eddie Jones is going to have to
some good
dig a bit deeper because Jack Clifford's been playing outstandingly well, but the shoulder injury that's presumably going to keep him out for a while, the same shoulder that he had
an
operation on.
Do we know how bad it is?
No idea yet. He'll be having a scan. I will be watching that very carefully because he's in my fantasy rugby draft team.
And you care. And you also care.
And that means I care. There was one thing that happened in today's game. Did you see the Wasps game when they scored their third try and they could have, in the last couple of minutes, gone for a bonus point try if Rob Miller had taken the conversion quick enough that the TMO didn't come into play and rule the try out for a forward pass, which he did. And Austin Healey was on there saying... quick, Rob Miller, kick it. There's nothing riding on this. And I was thinking, hold on, Rob Miller's in my fantasy team. There's 2 points. You take your time, Rob.
Yeah, exactly right, mate.
It's amazing how it changes the way you watch rugby, doesn't it?
What were we talking about so we can move on and talk about some games?
So we were talking about Rugby Championship.
Yeah.
South Africa, New Zealand. Anything else you want to bring up on this game? Because it was a brilliant game. A big step up. Big change in South Africa's in terms of their performance and their quality. New Zealand were very good. They blew a few chances, They were still very good. And they came up against a very, very spirited South Africa team.
Shall I just get this out of the way?
Yeah, go for it.
Because there was a red card for Damien Deal.
Oh, here we go.
No.
Okay. Go on.
I'm going to get out of the way. I'm going to do it really quickly because I'm bored of saying it, so people will be bored of hearing it. But anyone in the room think that was a red card?
I didn't see it.
No, I would not have given that as a red card.
Would you have given it as a yellow card?
Probably not. No.
No. Wow. Oh, my God. No. Oh, my. Do you know the number of times I come in here and I feel like am I one of those cantankerous old men that's just looking at the world in a really weird way? You know how that happens. But I feel really glad about that. So Damien Deelande was trying to charge down
Sapuanga,
as he was kicking the ball. He made contact with him late. It was a really petulant thing to do. Wasn't malicious. Wasn't dangerous.
Yeah. Didn't cause any harm.
Didn't cause any harm. No force. No significant contact. It was given a red card.
Yeah.
And I couldn't believe what I was watching. And what's more, some people that I thought were quite in tune with how I feel also seem to feel that is a red card, judging by Twitter. It seems, and it's based on, and I'm glad that you can step away from it, because what I was looking at and thinking, they're doing what Phil was talking about in terms of layering it. They're going, was contact made? Yes. Was it deliberate? Yes. Was it reckless? You could argue, yes, therefore red card. When actually there's so much more to consider. It wasn't malicious. It didn't do any damage. It was no significant contact. Just a bit stupid. Actually, if you watch the Blues v... Cardiff Blues versus the Dragons game, Nigel Owens did a brilliant example of just actually giving players a dressing down when the moment was required.
Did you see the Blues Dragons game?
Yeah.
Bloody hell.
I know. So anyway, so that was never a red card. Penalty, yeah, embarrassing with a bit of a talking down, like what on earth are you thinking? What are you doing?
That's the bit for me from him. It was just stupid. So there was no reason why he needed to make contact. So I definitely wouldn't have given a red card. I wouldn't have given him a yellow card. No. I would have given him a penalty and a slap on the wrist.
Yeah.
Because it was so stupid. I've watched this several times. From when Sapuanga kicks the ball, Deelande takes three more steps. Yeah. And he's not travelling that fast. He has complete opportunity to not go anywhere near him. And he still kind of clatters into him a tiny little bit and brushes his head. But the red card's that is a ludicrous red card. It's just
a lot of people are defending it. A lot of people are defending it. Look at Twitter. I know it's not totally representative. You look at people on Reddit and all the other places. They're all going, "Oh yeah, well obviously."
Oh, I don't read Reddit. Reddit is full of
standard red card. Oh yeah, yeah, that makes sense. It's a red card. And I would say that again, it's good that you can draw a line, because the people that have been saying letter of the law, yes, that could be argued to be a red card. Same as. Well, no, actually, I don't know how you get to this. The Friday night game, the two yellow cards at the end of Sale v Quins. What on earth are we doing there?
They were completely unnecessary.
Yeah.
Completely unnecessary. I mean, they just it's nothing, is it?
Just shake hands and crack on, lads. There's a bit of a scuffle when they've gone into
You wouldn't even give a penalty. You'd say, lads, what are you doing?
Oh, yeah, you don't give a penalty because they've both done a little bit of argy-bargy.
Yeah.
Crack on, shake hands.
I tell you what, I think a card.
Buy each other a beer afterwards.
Yeah.
No one
threw on. Because he grabbed his neck. And let me be funny, this is not how serious neck injuries occur, right? By just touching someone's head. There's this sort of insanity now about A, protecting the image of the game, because all the high mighty people will go, oh, is this really the image that we want pushing out to children? Or some idiot will go, my 8-year-old came up to me and said, Daddy, why are those two men performing acts of violence against each other? No. And the next thing is, if you even go near someone's neck or head, it's done. They'll just have to grab each other's wrists soon.
Yep. There was in the Argentina yellow card was just, I can't believe it's yellow. There was an element sometimes when two men come into contact in a tackle, you don't so much lift, but the player who was ball carrying, his feet occasionally leave the ground. The guy tackled him, held him the whole time, and the Australian player landed on his back, flat, horizontal, not remotely dangerous, yellow card.
No.
It's like unfortunately, the unintended consequence of letter of the law and consistency is you get really awful decisions, and more of them all the time.
So I think the law needs, I've said it before, I think the law needs to change in that. I think if you land flat on your back, it shouldn't even be a penalty. It's because it's if your feet go past the horizontal.
Yeah.
So you can be back perfectly flat, so like a really good hit, perfectly flat, but because your feet fly into the air, that's deemed to be past the horizontal.
I'd also say that the Freddie Burns one, I might have been happier with a yellow for that. I don't know if it warranted a red. Do we really want to be giving out red cards for that? I understand the safety and duty of care and stuff, but it's
So that one,
so it's the same old stuff.
I'm okay with that one as a red card.
Is it Chortoris who was involved with that? So Freddie Burns picks him up, he goes past the horizontal, he comes down. You watch the replay, someone pushes Freddie Burns in the back, and I'm sure it's Charteris.
He's not on the field, he's concussion protocol, so it might be
Ewells or someone. I'm sure it's the second row. And yeah, so the push in the back looks like it gives the momentum for Burns to go forward and then tip him. I would love him to go and card the second row. Do them both.
I did think that was interesting. Because of the interaction between, it was Luke Pearce, wasn't it, and the TMO.
Yeah.
So the TMO was doing what we said last week we don't want TMOs to do, which was hinting. And the TMO was actually hinting that it shouldn't be a red card.
Don't you think he landed on his arm there, not his neck?
Yeah.
Don't you think he landed on his arm, didn't he?
Just come out and say it.
I'm seeing a yellow card, not a red there. Say it.
Yeah. I think he landed on his arm, therefore it's a yellow card. So I actually think Luke Pearce probably got it right, because I think... beyond horizontal, landed arm head. But I would much prefer if the TMO actually just gives some direction. What I'm seeing is this, therefore I would do this. Referee still has complete freedom to do whatever he wants. No, sorry, Mr. TMO.
Okay.
I'm glad we only spent 15 minutes on.
Yeah, no, we're broadly in agreement. Just be careful what you wish for when you join the Letter of the Law Brigade. Move on. There we go.
Yes.
Positives. There's loads of positives to talk about. What was your highlight of the weekend?
Two for me, both in the same game. One was the re-emergence of Danny Kerr as a serious, serious player. It felt like Danny Kerr was a little bit annoyed.
He was playing Sale at home.
Yeah.
There is a bit of context we have to add into this.
Do you know what? I think it was almost a case of, there's a new kid around, he's got a bit of a reputation, and Danny Kerr just took care of business. I've said Danny Kerr now three times. And the other one is Marcus Smith. I mean, it's hard to describe how much talent that young man has. It's incredible. Not just the fact he can pass and run. I mean, you kind of expect that from, a kid. But it's the maturity. It's, how he controls the game. Some of his kicking. The kicking for, was it the Marchant try?
Yeah, well, Marchant try.
It's unreal.
After the first Visser try, slotting it from the touchline.
Yeah. What's he, 16? 17, 18?
He's 18.
He's 18?
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know what Quinn's doing about his education, because I think he's still in school.
Should be in full-time education.
Yeah, well, he kind of should be. But just an amazing prospect. I can't remember seeing someone so well-rounded so young.
It's interesting because I think he's developing, which you would expect. He's looking better every week.
Yeah.
But again, I will temper it. Like Tim said, it was Sale at home, and it was a good all-round performance by Quinns. But Sale historically don't travel well, and they didn't.
No, they don't travel well. But you take a few bits of magic out of that performance, which are provided by him and Kerr, and actually that's a completely different game. So you got that kick through for Visser, which is superb. And then you've got the Marchant try. Well, you take away those two bits of, they're exquisite. So it is worth mentioning, because otherwise Sale come down there and potentially win.
I'm not so sure on that.
What did the three tries from short little Gribber kicks.
But Harlequins were still dominant for most of the game. If they hadn't have scored by them, it would have been Marla crashing over again.
There's a mental thing going on with Sale Sharks on the road. They are awful away from home.
Yeah.
Let's call it how it is. They're terrible away from home. And that's... Yeah. And Steve Diamond, again, kind of just...
You said something
took no responsibility for it. He basically said, yeah. So quite often coaches... They mix it up a little bit. Sometimes they'll go, do you know what? There's a lot of hard work, and we've got our coaching team's got to work on this, that, or the other. or we're going to get together and collectively come through this. Steve Diamond, Phil, you talked about it the other week, where he just kind of went, it's them.
Yeah.
And he went...
Take the plaudits when they win.
Yeah. He said after Friday night, it's good to see Quinn senior players playing well. We had a lot of players that just didn't show up.
Yeah.
We our senior players didn't show up.
So
but again, you look at... You alluded to three of the Quinn's tries were from... really good analysis executed well, because they'd obviously clocked Sale come up dead flat, let's nudge little balls in behind.
This is 6'4".
Yeah,
Kerr can do a couple of little, they weren't even crossfield kicks, just little dinks.
Yeah, it's funny you mentioned that about Diamond washing his hands of the situation. Obviously he was a lot happier man last Friday night when they battered Gloucester.
Yeah.
But in the post-match he said, well, someone asked, like, what was the difference or something like that? He goes, well, we had a word with our coaches, some honest words were said, and, you know, basically, Mike Forshaw got it wrong. I mean, that's paraphrasing, that's not exactly what he said. But, yeah, they didn't know their basics, but they do now.
So blame his players, blame his coaching staff when they lose. That takes all the credit when they win.
I do wonder if one of the coaches might be at risk at Sale, if they carry on. I mean, they played six, they've won two.
I wonder if they need a sports psychologist. Well, funny I say that. Have a look. This is something I found on the Sale Sharks website that has gone largely unnoticed.
I noticed it.
A comedy video.
Oh, not the sports psychologist one?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Sale Sharks are doing well. But, like all teams, they're on the lookout for something to give them that extra 1%.
Any suggestions?
What about this guy?
Not a chance.
I've already eyed him.
Whilst the staff seem relaxed about their new signing, the players seem unsure.
Right. So they're
bringing my expertise from the world of show business.
Right. It's a 5-minute video, which is bizarre. It's got all the players in it.
It's bizarre, isn't it?
And it's a guy with a wig, who's called Guru Kelly, who's coming to be a psychotherapist for Sale Sharks. If you've got 5 minutes and nothing else to do. Absolutely nothing to do.
I feel
first do some sweeping of the floor.
Yeah.
Then maybe watch
put
this.
Put some tape in the bin. paint the pictures.
But maybe they do need a sports psychologist or something like that. Someone to sort their mental attitude, because that's the only difference between them home and away. Gloucester again, arguably with their performance at home.
Yeah.
Three from three at King's Home.
Sorry, can I just revisit that video? I feel that the concept is quite funny, but the writing is terrible. And then it feels like a working man's... Like, do you know, one of the acts you'd get in, like, a working man's club from, you know, a mining community in the 70s? I mean, it's that sort of humour. It's bizarre.
It is. And it's on a rugby club's website. I mean, I applaud clubs trying something a little bit different. But, there we go.
Yeah, did you go on Twitter?
Keep trying.
Keep trying.
I'll post a link to it on our Twitter page, at Rugby Podcast. Didn't mean to distract from that, so...
You just mentioned Gloucester.
Yeah.
So twice now they've beaten top of the league as you kind of go into the fixture at home. They've been dreadful away, including obviously their hammering at Sale last week. So that's one thing that is like, it's a bit unusual that needs sorting out. But some of the players that they've got, so two in particular, Woodward. And Trinder.
Oh.
Trinder. He's like a new signing because he's been available so little, so infrequently for the past few years. I really hope he gets some serious game time, because I think he'll be pushing, if he continues doing what he's doing, he will be at least in the question. He'll be in the conversation for England squads when they're being picked in the future.
That's a great shout.
I tell you what, when you got, I think Owen Williams is a big upgrade at fly half. I really do.
Well, you didn't kick very well.
No,
he didn't. No.
Which is unusual for him, actually.
He
does have credit in the bank there. Then they bring in Atkinson. Now, Atkinson does all the good bits.
Billy Twelvetrees has been playing really well.
At
home.
So,
Billy,
Billy Twelvetrees is an interesting one. Mark Atkinson brings all the good bits of Billy Twelvetrees without any of the downsides. So, I think, you know, hopefully Twelvetrees has got most of the horrors out of the way, but sometimes you watch him play and it's an absolute car crash. So, when he's good, he's all right, but when he's not... Don't want him anywhere near there. Having Atkinson back in is going to make a huge difference. That's going to be a dangerous team.
Mm. Oh yeah, and they've got some forwards to come back in as well.
What were they doing with Johnny May all this time?
How did they get so little out of it?
Yeah,
I don't. Don't know.
Right, it's incredible, isn't it? So Gloucester are the other Gloucester that could be quite good. We'll see what turns up next time they play. Which Europe for a couple of weeks now, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, so they're in the other one, aren't they?
Yeah.
European right. Challenge Cup.
So we probably won't mention them now for another 3 weeks.
No,
will we?
No, we won't.
And Northampton will be disappointed to lose that.
Yeah.
But so I think they've got a lot of opportunity now. So Piers Francis played his first game, didn't do anything particularly well, didn't do anything particularly badly, but I want to see more of that combination. And I want to see more of those two to get the best. So Malinder and Francis, whichever way they're going to play long term, in order to get the best out of the boys now, outside them.
Short term, is it Malinder plus one other, or is it Francis plus one other?
I think Burrell Horn, that partnership they missed in midfield, to be honest. I think that's one of the things direct. That changed. So I actually think that's when they'll play better, when they have
more direct,
slightly more direct. And Rob Horn's rugby brain's really good. So
yeah, he's a good player.
I wouldn't be surprised if we don't see that 10-12 combination. And maybe Piers Francis so then, is 10.
What, and you drop Malinder completely?
Or fullback.
Fullback.
I don't think you'd get rid of Malinder from the playmaking roles just yet, even though he says he wants to play fullback. I just don't think that they're strong enough to do that. And I've not seen anything from Piers Francis yet to suggest that he is worthy of having the 10 shirt.
And
one game,
isn't it?
Yeah.
It's only another 8 months until June when Dan Bigger will show up for pre-season training as well. So
that's true. Maybe that prompted Malinder to say, I fancy fullback.
Yeah, maybe.
I don't want to get stuck in the 10 jersey.
That's a good point, actually.
RC Tuala, who's taken the fullback jersey off Ben Foden, is actually playing really well.
Mm. Good player.
Yeah.
They're going to have 4 fly halves. What are they going to do with them?
Well, you can't. They're not going to keep them all, are they?
Well,
Stephen
they've got
Myler.
Myler will be gone.
Worcester could probably do with him now.
So Myler will be gone, and both Malinder.
That is a great shout. That is a superb shout, Tim.
But it's going to be too late. They'll be in the Championship the way it's going.
Yeah, but Myler really is the most senior guy there. And if they play real hard-nosed rugby, Myler comes back into the team, you can see him doing really well, because he has played that role a lot in the past. So in reality, he's the most senior fly half. One guy is the coach's son. He's going nowhere. The other guy is a big name signing when he shows up. And then Piers Francis must have a 3-year deal.
They've only just brought him in.
So
brought him back from New Zealand.
They're going to have to get rid of your most senior guy, I guess.
Yeah, yeah. I think that's clear now.
I'm going to jump to my highlight of the weekend. Yes, is I thought the Leinster-Munster game was great. I thought it was really good. Keith Earls, what am I talking about? Robbie Henshaw made his first game back. And did on Sky Sports.
The player mic.
And have a listen if you think he's been influenced by the Egg Chasers podcast and our love of Jonathan Spratt's forward. Have a listen, because I reckon Robbie Henshaw's just trying to get mentioned on the pod. Hold on. Let me play that again. Sorry.
Skull boys, keep the pressure on. In my hand.
Wait for it.
Oh, nice.
That's one thing I noticed about Robbie Henshaw. If you watch the whole Sky Sports player mic, he shouts forward a lot. He chops his at the ref a lot. At one point with the ref saying, "Oi, Robbie."
There's a guy in Australia, because the Aussies do player mic as well, and he seems like an absolute character. One of the centres for the Rebels, it's absolutely quality.
I want to hear more of it, because I really like it.
Yeah, I do as well. And also, do you know what? If you play any amount of amateur rugby, you know, the biggest difference, other than the physicality, you know, the mentality, skill
packet.
Level,
fitness,
the pay packet,
agility, speed,
the referee.
Refereeing,
the pitches, nutrition. the biggest difference, right, is the amount that they talk.
Yeah, communication.
It's huge.
Communication is key.
That's what is so cool about the Standard one. Because I'd love to play with someone like Stander.
Who's talking
all the time. But always giving you a little pat on the arse and go on, go forward, do a little bit more.
And he sweeps the changing rooms.
So humble.
Oh, so humble. Sorry. Sorry. I don't know what. I didn't mean to do that.
Are you watching yourself?
No. I'm just checking in on the comments on Facebook Live because I know we did have some sound issues earlier, but it appears to have sorted itself out.
Oh, I'll give you a low light of the weekend then, whilst you're checking the comments. Did you watch the Ospreys Scarlets game?
No.
Well, thankfully not, if that's the context that you're bringing it up in.
Well, I am almost certain that Reece Webb is going to find himself in a bit of bother about this.
Okay.
So there was a scuffle, and I've watched it two or three times now, and I hope I'm wrong. I hope I just can't. I've not seen a slow motion version. I've only seen like the highlights. And the scuffle is between the two nines, and Reece Webb ends up on top of Gareth Davis, and it looks to me as if he's got his thumb placed right over his eye, pinning him to the floor. And anyway, this has prompted, in my opinion, Reece Webb to tweet out what great mates he is with Gareth Davis and this and the other. And the next comment is, why did he gouge him then? And then there's a huge thread. Now, I am definitely not qualified to say if he was gouging. It's very, very, it's a very fast clip, but it does look serious.
So that's interesting, because by this time last Sunday, we knew that Sinclair had been cited. I've not heard anything.
Are the Welsh, two Welsh teams, are they closing ranks a little bit?
You'd hope so.
Gatland in there just...
Hey guys,
collaring some sighting officials and dragging them into a room.
Which is exactly how it should be, really.
So Gatland smoothing things over for one Reece Webb issue ahead of smoothing things over for another Reece Webb issue next season.
This is fascinating, isn't it? This is absolutely fascinating.
So on, I think it was Wednesday of this week, it was announced that he signed a 3-year deal with Toulon.
Now, what does that mean? It means nothing for Reece Webb.
That means a lot for... guys that are like Jamie Roberts.
Yeah.
What? Because he's not going to get... He's going to be on the... What is it? Four players, Gatland's law.
No, I think it's three now. I think it actually reduces next year.
Oh, does it?
I'm sure I read that somewhere, that it reduces to two next year.
Talupe Faletau. So for this autumn, Faletau will be one.
Yeah.
You think everyone being fit, George North might be another.
George North has to go, I think.
Third one...
Liam Williams
will definitely be in. And then you've got guys like Luke Charteris.
Yeah.
I think Charteris is Reece somehow
Priestland,
exempt.
Because he didn't have a market rate offer. Yeah. Or whatever, however they define
it. Gatland will make the law work however
he
needs
Gatland's
it to work.
Well, it's Gatland's law. I mean, if it's JB's law, I'd do whatever I wanted. I don't really see this being a massive stumbling block. Because from what I can tell, it's not written down anywhere. It's not as if it's like codified. So he just makes it up. He goes, well, actually, it was three, but, you know... They're clearly not offering him the market rate, are they? Or he would have stayed.
Well, so that's the interesting bit about it, because that is, if they don't offer him the market rate, then they can select him anyway.
Yeah, well, what's the market rate?
Yeah, so they're not going to offer him, let's say he went for near Lee Halfpenny money when he was at Toulon. Let's say that was allegedly 600,000 euros. Let's say he's on 500,000 euros. He's not going to be offered anywhere near that.
Exactly.
In Wales. So... that's a very easy way around the problem.
Yeah, I'd say so. We couldn't afford to keep him because he's one of the best scrum halves in the world, and that will be that.
Yeah.
A few comments.
Sounds bad.
David Molyneux, he's a bit, just to clarify, he's a little bit confused. Is it next year or this year that's Gloucester's year?
Oh, well...
next year.
Definitely next year.
Right, yeah, it's definitely next year.
One or two more signings, I'd say.
Craig Russell, when's Tim going to be given his own lazy boy? That's a great question.
That is a great question, actually.
That is a good question. We'll look into that.
Because initially it was because I had all the screens and was looking after stuff, but JB's now land-grabbed all that as well.
Yeah. Got a lot of screens here.
Yeah, JB, you should sit on the blue chair.
Yeah, you should sit on this. This is the admin chair.
I was going to make myself a little desk there and actually swap it around. But I'm not, so... I'll think about it.
Right. So we will left on this podcast. We're going to be getting into Europe. The week ahead, we're going to be getting. And Phil's prepared a special European themed quiz.
Just a little quiz,
from what I understand. We'll
to whet your appetite.
Round up some other elements of the game that we've seen over the last week. But I've firstly just got a couple of things I want to say on our behalf. First, grab yourself a Cornerstone razor.
100%.
Cornerstone.co.uk/eggchasers. Cornerstone.co.uk/eggchasers. They help us make the podcast, but that's not why we want you to get involved in it. We want you to get involved because it is the best razor that you can get, we believe. And for £4, It's ridiculous. There are other razor companies that have popped up since trying to follow the Cornerstone model. They are the original and the best. And
in our opinion,
they're still completely number one. With no other offer, do for £4, you get a free aluminium engraved shaft with your initials and 6 razor blades. The extras are brilliant as well. Go and have a look at the website. Because you listen to us, £4 you get that for. Cornerstone.co.uk/eggchasers. Cornerstone.co.uk/eggchasers or...
And this is not my opinion, it's Egg 10 at checkout. There you go.
Egg 10 at checkout is a fact. That's just a...
It's a fact, isn't it? It's a fact.
And the other thing,
checkout. Do it now. Do it now.
The other thing is, how good was March 2017 when we just went
one of the greatest days in rugby history.
Incredible,
I believe.
So we went to Bucharest, and initially we just booked it. We were going to go to watch a tier 2 match and have a
bit. But I said no. Let's fleece our fans.
Have a bit of a knees up, and we opened the invitation. Said come and actually, well, no. People said, can I come as well? And it turned into what we had. Well over 100 people. We had a live podcast. We had loads of people in a big marquee drinking beers before Romania v Georgia,
VIP no less,
downtown Bucharest. It was incredible. So we want to try and do tier 2 tour again. So tier 2 tour 2 Madrid 10th and 11th of March 2018. Details on our Facebook page, facebook.com/eggchasers. Come along, get your mates to come along. We've looked at flights. You can get return flights to Madrid for that weekend, 30-40, depending on what part of the country you're coming into. £60 return to Madrid. Digs are cheap, beer is cheap. We'll be having the Saturday watching...
I won't be drinking cheap beer though.
We'll be having Saturday watching Six Nations, having a bit of a knees up together. There are some Egg Chasers listeners based in Madrid that are going to help us with a bit of hospitality and stuff as well, and some local knowledge. And then on the Sunday we'll have a live podcast which we'd love you to be part of, and we will also go and watch Spain versus Germany in the Tier 2 competition. World Rugby know about this. They followed our antics last time. They're going to come and follow it again with some very, very special things they've got planned.
Very. Just so you know, let me emphasise this even more. Very special things from World Rugby. So watch out for that. Oh, I can't wait for this. I can't wait. Probably the best part of it will be that Saturday watching the Six Nations games.
Oh, yeah. Well, it's both. So last time, the Saturday watching the Six Nations
actually,
game,
Sunday was awesome.
The Sunday was amazing. So the live pod was brilliant fun. And everyone who came along, kind of who got involved, and brilliant atmosphere doing that. But then getting down to watch the game, have a few beers beforehand, and then watch what was a very tense and very important game in that tournament, because it was the deciding game of the tournament.
Yeah, they actually gave the trophy to the wrong team.
Yeah.
They did.
They didn't even realise at the time.
Yeah, and also there's a sort of appreciation that you're going to watch. I wouldn't call it grassroots as such, but there's an appreciation that there is more to rugby than just the Six Nations during the international window.
Definitely, yeah.
Agreed. So details are on our Facebook page. Get thinking about the weekend of the 10th and 11th of March. We think you can do it on a budget and come and have an incredible time letting the boys play in Madrid. Lots of fun to be had. Come and join us. Right. I reckon maybe we should get into a bit of a quiz. Get the grey matter working. What do you reckon?
Do you fancy it?
Yeah, come on, Phil. Let's do this.
Do I need to write things down?
Yeah, write it down or get up
I've
something.
I've got a little notepad on my phone.
Yeah, notepads. So, 10 questions.
Yeah. Ten questions.
Ten.
Most of them are relatively fast.
Okay, good.
But there are a couple.
I'll
where
decide how fast I answer these.
Where there's two or more good points games available.
Good game's a quick game.
Okay, so this is about the last couple of seasons, but also some historical stuff.
Okay.
On European rugby, so European club rugby, Heineken Cup, European Champions Cup, and European Challenge Cup. So, first of all, which club has won the most Heineken Cup and or European Champions Cup? So it's the top tier.
What's going on? well done. Actually, I've got the music here, Tim.
Have you?
No, I don't. No. Sorry.
Okay.
So, which club has won the most Heineken Cup and or European Champions Cup titles? So the top tier, not the second tier.
Okay.
Number two, in Glasgow's 43-0 demolition of Leicester in last season's pool game, who was awarded the official Man of the match.
Was this home?
This was at Welford Road.
Oh. Huh.
Okay. Next.
Question number three. The top two all-time try scorers in the Heineken and European Champions Cup have both played for the same club. Which club?
Read that again.
So the top two all-time try scorers in the European Champions Cup and Heineken Cup have both played for the same club.
Okay.
Okay.
Question four. Who won last season's European Rugby Challenge Cup?
That's a really good question.
I'm pretty sure I would have got this wrong as well.
Okay.
Okay, question number five. Four of the top five players with the most appearances in the Heineken Cup and European Champions Cup have played for the same club. Four out of the top five, all from one club.
Wow.
Out of the top five.
Name that club.
Okay, I reckon that's... I've got...
I'm having a nightmare here.
Going for that one. Defo going for that club. I won't say 100%, but surely confident. It's got to be that one.
Yeah.
Okay. Question number six. Name any of the teams that Exeter Chiefs will play...
Chiefs.
...in this year's pool stages.
Name what, sorry?
Any of the teams that Exeter Chiefs will play in this year's pool stages.
You get a point for each.
1 point for each. You can only put three down.
What? That's an outrage.
Just name 17 teams.
Yeah.
18, 19 teams.
Come on.
Yeah.
Okay. Ridiculously, I'm actually working at their game this weekend and I can't remember who they're playing. Oh, no, I can.
There's one team I can't quite. Who is he? This is so annoying.
Okay.
Oh. Okay.
Question number seven.
Yep.
Other than England, France, Ireland, Wales, Scotland, and Italy, which two countries have clubs represented in this year's European Challenge Cup?
Ooh.
Next. Is it 10 points or 10 questions?
10 questions, more than 10 points.
Okay then.
Question number 8. The 2009 Heineken Cup final.
2009, okay.
Between Leicester and Leinster.
Yeah.
From the Leinster team that started that day, there are 7 players still contracted to Leinster Rugby.
Okay.
Of the Leicester team, there is 1 player still contracted.
Okay.
As a player for Leicester Tigers.
Jordan, I thought it was going to be a trick and you were going to have Jordy Murphy.
Name the player that started... Well, he played in the 22 for Leicester that day, 2009, and he's still a contracted player at Leicester Tigers.
Okay.
Goodness me.
I reckon I got that. Yeah! Love it! Yes! I'm confident on that one. I'm going to say 94%.
94. Ooh.
Yeah. That's very confident, mate.
JB is less confident. What would you put your percentage at the moment, Jay?
4%.
4. And you've got nothing written down for it.
Yeah, I've got 2 things written down.
2 things written down.
But it didn't stack up. So
okay.
We'll have to revisit it.
Question number 9.
Yep.
The last 5 consecutive winners of the European Player of the Year title,
yep,
have all been English. However, only 2 of them have played for English clubs when they won. Name those 2 players.
Read the question again.
So the last 5 consecutive winners of the European Player of the Year,
yep,
have all been English.
Yep.
So back from 2012.
Yep.
However, only 2 of those 5 were playing for English clubs when they won that title.
Ooh.
So name those.
Yeah, because Stephen Armitage got it at Toulon.
Yep. Yeah.
Benders got it at Clermont.
Clermont.
Wilco.
Wilco 2012.
Yeah, Johnny Wilkinson.
Yeah. So there's 2 others.
2 more.
2 others who were playing for an English club when they won it.
Okay.
Final question.
Yep.
The European Champions Cup final of 2007.
Yes.
Where Wasps beat Leicester Tigers.
Okay.
There was one Frenchman in the Wasps team.
And it's not Tom French.
Ooh.
One French national, French passport holder, presumably, playing for Wasps that day. Who was it?
Final?
2007.
Okay, shall we go through the scores then?
2007 Heineken Cup final. You got something down, Tim?
2007 Frenchman. Got it. Well, give me another quiz music I can use, because I don't want to just
Blockbusters?
Blockbusters. Should we go for Blockbusters for the answers?
Yeah, go for it.
Blockbusters. I need like a 1 hour.
1 hour version of Blockbusters.
1 hour.
Blockbusters repeat.
We're not going to take that long.
Do you know, I was having I was having dinner in a rather swanky Manchester restaurant, which had a piano, and they played the Blockbusters music. The pianist was, I was like, what is this? What is this tune?
Which restaurant was that?
It was what's it called? Owned by the Australasia Group people. Grill on the Alley.
Grill on the Alley. Okay. Mm.
You touting for a free meal? You said you'll mention it.
Exactly.
Right then, question one.
Okay, question number one. Which club has won the most top-tier European titles?
Toulouse.
How many have they won?
Four.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Correct. Question number two. Who was man of the match when Glasgow demolished Leicester Tigers? There's a lot of Leicester losing in
this. It was their Italian winger and the one up at Glasgow, but I put Johnny Gray at the one at Welford Road.
I put Tim Swinson, four man of the matches in a row. This is one of them.
Tim Swinson is correct.
Well
Boom.
Done.
I know my Swinson facts.
You're still hurting that you didn't make the Lions score.
I can't believe it. It's an outrage.
So, question. 2-1 to JB. Next question.
Just a quick Tim Swinson thing. You got four man of the matches in a row, but because the TV crew didn't know, they just awarded it to, they awarded one of them to, what's his name, fullback?
Hog. Hoggy.
Yep.
Right.
Next one.
Poor swinners. Okay, number three. The top two all-time highest try scorers have both played for the same rugby club. What club?
Right. Is it Vincent Clair?
The top two try scorers have played for the same club.
They've both played for the same club?
Yep. Is it Vincent Clair?
I said, we're guessing the club, not the players.
You're guessing the club.
Okay, all right, fine.
So
I said Toulon, because I thought Ashton was one of them and he now plays for Toulon. He now has played for Toulon, so I said Toulon. I don't know who the other player would be.
Great one.
But so, I said Toulon.
I put Toulouse because I knew Vincent Clair played there.
So you've named the two players.
But they both played at Toulon.
They now both play at Toulon.
Oh, it's boom! I did not.
Yeah, Vincent Clair signed for Toulon this year.
Woo! I hate my life.
To all. Interestingly, neither of them has actually played for Toulon in the European Champions Cup or Heineken Cup. But they are the top two try scorers.
Okay. I don't know who won the Challenge Cup last year. I guessed. I just said Montpellier. I don't
Stade
know.
Stade Francais, wasn't it?
Correct.
It was Stade Francais, wasn't it? Yes, it was.
They beat Gloucester.
So the four year, most capped Heineken Cup or European Champions Cup players.
Yeah.
All from one club. Or four out of the five. Yep. It's got to be Munster. It's got to be Paulie, Donnacho Callaghan,
oh, that's
Stringer.
Amazing shout. I can't believe I didn't go with that.
Who did you go for?
Toulouse again.
Toulouse is incorrect. Munster is correct.
No!
Who are the four?
Off the top of my head, O'Gara.
O'Gara, Stringer, Paulie.
Stringer,
and
John Hayes.
Oh, yes.
They could have been.
Cool.
Yeah, I think they've got a lot in there.
I like that music.
All right, I'll let me find a different one. What's it coming up with next? Oh, it's just suggested the next one. Let's see what it is.
Gladiators!
For an extra point, Phil, you got that one. You're the quickest.
Okay, the teams that Exeter will play in this year's pool stage.
Yeah, this is a little bit of a cheat on my part.
I'll do one. Glasgow?
Yes, got Glasgow.
Correct.
Ulster?
No, Leinster. Oh,
God damn.
Correct.
It was Ulster last year. Yeah. And Montpellier is the final one.
Jay?
Clermont.
So,
and I actually know the answer to this because I've been up to Glasgow and they told me. And I remember... Such an
yeah,
idiot.
Yeah, it's just that if I wasn't working this weekend, I'd be in a worse
place.
Does that put me like two ahead?
It does put you two ahead, 6-4.
It's a joke. It's an absolute joke.
The two nations that have clubs besides the usuals.
Yeah.
Romania and Russia.
I put Russia and Spain.
1 point for Tim. 2 points for JB.
Well done.
So it's 7-6 now.
1 point game. Now, this Leicester player, I'm sure I've got this right. This is the 94% confident. So I'll let JB go first.
Well, see, I was going to go with one of the Youngs boys. But he had one of the Youngs boys. Surely they have both of the Youngs boys because they were there together. So then it leaves me with Dan Cole. But I'm going to go with Ben Youngs.
Is incorrect.
No!
Matt Smith.
Incorrect as
no!
well.
No! That was I can tell you. Not Tom Young then.
He started in the second row in the final.
What?
What?
He's not normally a second row, but he started second row in the final.
Don't know.
Tom Croft.
Oh. Right, okay. So still a 1 point game. Three points up for grabs.
Yeah. So the European Player of the Year winners.
I got Maro and Billy.
Tim?
I put Maro and Faz.
Maro is correct. 1 point each. Billy is incorrect.
Oh, no.
But Faz is correct.
No!
So Tim takes an unassailable 9-7 lead.
Boom!
The last one was Rafael Ibanez.
Who have you got, Tim?
Rafael Ibanez.
Correct.
God 1 point each.
10 yeah. points to 8. Tim Cocker wins.
Just because of BT, that's all.
That actually was the difference.
Oh, I feel ill.
Oh, just on that then. I'll just let me get up the pool tables, and I'll just like a very cursory look ahead. But I know we're going to do the fixtures in a little bit, but the tables just so just to refresh your memory. We've already talked about the Exeter one, and Exeter play Glasgow this weekend. Leinster play Montpellier. Pool one: Quins, Stad, La Rochelle, Ulster, and Wasps.
Yeah,
which doesn't look nearly as strong as it did.
Yeah.
A few months back, does it?
With Wasps, won 2 out of 6 in the league.
Yeah.
4 on the bounce that they've lost.
Yeah. So and Ulster could be stronger, getting better in some...
Kurtzier's injury is worrying, though.
Yeah, it is. Another injury.
Uncertain.
Jeez.
I don't like to blow my own trumpet, but we were...
What?
We were,
just do it this once, mate.
We did get a couple of tweets from Rugby Podcast going, fair play to Tim for calling a couple of years ago Jacob Stockdale as one to watch, and he has blossomed.
He is class. He's brilliant. He's got a brilliant try. Him and Pia Tau linked up very well.
Yeah, that's great. Pool 2.
Which is the highlight of not a great game in all honesty.
Yeah, it's true. Pool 2, Clermont, Northampton, Ospreys and Saracens, which again... Just Saracens and Clermont, like, it just doesn't look as strong as it could be. Northampton actually a bit better, and Ospreys a bit. Anyway,
Ospreys are the ones.
A bottom of their conference.
I know.
Yeah,
unreal.
Ospreys are the ones there that, if they were playing as they were 2 or 3 seasons ago, that would be a serious pool.
No, I don't think it would actually, because I don't think Ospreys have been good for a number of years. They've had a lot of stars, but they've never been.
It's Clermont and Saracens, isn't
yeah.
it?
Yeah, Clermont and Saracens. That's just a brutal game which happens. Yeah. It seems to happen every 6 weeks.
But the interesting thing is, where are the teams going to emerge as the quarterfinal, as the best runners up? Pool 3, Exeter, Glasgow, Leinster, Montpellier, as we said. Pool 4, Cast, Leicester, Munster, Racing.
Cast, Munster.
Leicester, what is it about Leicester and Racing?
Love each other.
Munster. Bath, Benetton, Scarlets, Toulon.
Bath, Benetton, Scarlets, Toulon. Yeah, it looks like that could be the one where the runner-up comes out of.
You think so?
Who's the winner and who's the runner-up?
I think Toulon win it, Scarlets runner-up.
I think you're probably right
at
the moment.
I think it's good. the strongest pool there is actually the one we just spoke about. Leinster, Glasgow. Yeah. Two absolute dominating
Exeter
teams.
Exeter and Montpellier,
yeah.
I
English champs and Montpellier.
Who Montpellier with that 8-9-10.
Yeah, and some of the biggest backs.
Playing, in world
playing, yeah, playing the game at the moment. Yeah, I that is the pool, and that is I think it's really tough to say who's going to come out of that.
I don't think there's a classic pool of death this year, though. I mean, that, it's a very competitive pool, but it's not like when they had Saracens, Toulon...
Well, that's the one, isn't it? Glasgow, the only unbeaten side.
Yeah.
Still.
Montpellier top of the league.
Montpellier top of the top 14. Leinster are Leinster in Europe. And Exeter, English champions.
Reigning champions.
So that is the pool of death.
It is. That's
quite
that's
deathy.
Carnage. It's quite, yeah. It's got a very deathy feel about that one.
I wouldn't like to predict who's going to come out of that.
No, I wouldn't either. And actually, Exeter aren't that good in Europe. They've still not quite mastered it.
No, but they'll be getting better every year. And their squad is getting a bit bigger and a bit more experienced. So they should have some strong ambitions. Plus, Exeter is a difficult place for anyone to go and play.
I can't see Montpellier doing particularly well going to Sandy Park.
On the road.
And going to Glasgow on a Friday night.
So it's all, you win your home games, if you can score some good points on your home games, if you can win one away game in that pool, you can top it.
Best game. What's going to be the best game of this weekend?
Let's have a look then. Do you want to get into the fixtures for this weekend?
Well, what else is on our agenda?
So we talked about Marla, we talked about Webb, we've run through most of the games this weekend.
I've had a good old moan.
Yeah.
So that's standard.
Yeah, we've got the cords out of the way, thank God. we haven't mentioned Saracen's demolition of Wasps, really.
Yeah. Okay. Well,
to say? Wasps don't have any players.
We can rattle through some of these other matches.
Go on.
I'll tell you a couple of things I learned from that game. So Saracens was kind of exactly as expected.
Yeah.
They lost Faz to a calf knock, but Lazowski came in and bossed things.
He was ace.
Pack was brilliant. Backs looked dangerous. Nothing more to say there. And they were exceptionally clinical. Wasps, there's two things. So a couple of their young lads, those Willis boys who came in and play in like first starts or first off the bench for the younger one, they look very good, or they look positive. There was some positive take.
They look competent, yeah. Didn't they?
Bassett played well.
That's what I wanted to say.
Well, just besides that, some of their big players, and Wasps have got some very big name players, and there were some very big name players playing in that game who did not play well. So the three I'll mention are probably the three biggest players. Willie LaRue had
awful.
A shocker. Elliot Daly did not play well at all.
Nope.
And James Haskell was anonymous for much of the game.
I give the Haskell a little bit of leeway because...
Oh, I knew it would be the Haskell that got a bit of leeway.
Because like his job...
I called this a couple of weeks ago, said he's going to struggle. He's going to struggle. He'll get back in the England team. He'll be back
team. Because like his job is hard work. You know, so you know, hitting rucks doesn't necessarily catch your eye too much.
But look around. You were talking earlier about the young English talent coming through. Look at the non-young English talent that's already come through and is there and playing brilliantly in the Premiership.
The young non-English
like Mark Wilson.
Non-young English.
Prime age. Don Armand.
The young
prime age.
Hang on, you got this wrong. The English non-young talent, not the young non-English talent.
Well, Don Armand's non-English.
Yeah.
He's non-young and non-English.
Yeah, I guess so. Willie LaRue had one of the worst games that I've seen for a long time.
Yeah.
He was just dreadful.
You could make one of those Percy Montgomery negative highlight reels of that performance.
100%. How do I do that? I might actually do that. there was something fundamental. Yes.
Josh Bassett was triggered you to say something.
I actually thought that Wasps did all right, considering. Because if you look at their back line, it was just, you know, when you're moving up your fullback Miller, your reserve fullback to be your starting fly half, you've got problems, right? But he didn't do too badly. He wasn't great. He didn't do too badly.
Well, no, he did what you would expect second choice 15 or third choice fullback to do against the best team in Europe.
Yeah. So I had a thought, right? Tell me how mental this thought is, and we'll go from there. If Wasps are serious, right, about all the moaning and whinging, about the Danny Cipriani injury in particular, just ruining them because they can't have two Bourne players. And then that kind of knocks on because you've only got Gopith there to pass the ball And then, you know, it's got all those other, you know, Wasps are then failing to adjust to their personnel to put them into the right sort of game plan. Why not start Rob Miller every week at 10 and Gopith at 12? And it might just...
All the other way around.
Yeah. Well, I'd say Gopith is probably more... I think 10... would be better.
That hasn't been an option up till now because the injuries have been so bad that Miller's had to play fullback because Ville Leroux's been out, or Miller's had to play 10 because Gopith's out. So who knows, maybe Dai Young already had contemplated such a move. But
because with Gopith at 12 as well, it would take a bit of pressure off Miller. And he's played well, and he'd just play a bit better, I guess.
Yeah.
And then he can at least go back to something which they were trying with limited success. Well, no, with a lot of success, actually.
Well, last year had a huge amount of success. Yeah. It was phenomenal.
So that's my two thoughts on my two cents on Wasps.
James Haskell, to give him credit, has come out and he said, I know I'm not playing well and I know it's going to be a tough ask to get back into that England squad. I agree. For someone who only, you know, a year and a half ago was world-class, genuine, played in world-class Australia series.
You've been predicting the downfall of James Haskell for 4 years now.
No, I haven't been predicting the downfall. I've been saying I think he's quite a one-dimensional player. He's very, very good in that one dimension, but I would have preferred to see someone like... Anyone. Lots of players. Mark Wilson and Don Armand, just two really good examples, who I think offer more than, but also do that industrious work. But he looks really off the pace. And it's really hard when you're not behind a big Wasp platform and you don't have Nathan Hughes bashing holes. It exposes things even more and makes it even tougher for guys like Ville Leroux and Joe Haskell.
I mean, I don't know how serious the Wasps injury list is. I mean, I know it's big.
It is.
But I don't know how long term it is. So when, for instance, Nathan Hughes gets back, so on and so forth. But I fear for them.
We know Sippers won't be back this side of Christmas.
Yeah. I mean, I think they would struggle against Worcester.
It'd be an interesting game on current form, as in the last four games.
They've been away to Worcester already, haven't they? So game two.
They're in 10th position.
So they've won
after six games.
They've won
two games.
Out of six. Yeah.
So who's Irish,
but let's remember where Exeter were this time last year.
Yeah, true. They might lose no more than four games all season.
Yeah,
unlikely.
I can't see it on this current form, but yeah. Well,
good test. Good test to Dai Young, who's very highly regarded. So we'll see.
Mm.
What are the matches in terms of the top 14? I mentioned Glasgow, still unbeaten. Pretty fantastic.
We just lost the Facebook Live feed.
Yeah, but you know, they've watched it. It'll be fine.
Is this a battery error?
It is a battery error. Yeah.
So it's a user error, really.
Yeah, it is.
Sorry, Tim. What was your question?
No, they're quite all right. So, enjoy most... This is the bonus... Sorry, we meant to do that. This is the bonus podcast-only content we've got now.
How about Facebook?
Not available on Facebook, this stuff. Because it's so damn good. I can't remember. Yeah, Glasgow, still unbeaten. I don't know what I want to say about Pro 14, actually.
I'll tell you one thing I do want to say.
So, I think Pro 14, and I'm not a massive Pro 14 fan, I don't know if you know this, is actually really interesting.
Treviso won again.
Yep.
Albeit Southern Kings at home.
A win is a win is a win.
A win is a win is a win.
So I actually think, right, that the Italian teams have won as many games this year so far as they won all of last year. So I think...
They're on five.
And Zebre only just lost to Edinburgh by a point on Friday night.
Zebre are a good team. Really good team.
So Benetton, but
Glasgow currently... beating the Cheetahs in South Africa.
Yeah,
that was a good, strong effort.
Yeah.
No, I think it's actually really interesting. I mean, the South African teams have seemed to have spiced things up quite a lot. Actually, Cheetahs are genuinely good. There's no two ways about that. Although they're terrible at Super Rugby, so that's interesting. So how good is Super Rugby?
Yeah, that's a bit.
Is
worried.
Super Rugby really that much better?
It's a bit worrying, isn't it?
But then I think Cheetahs have only played away from home once.
Played Ulster first week. They probably did two or three initially, and then they've had...
I think they did Ulster and then flew back for three or four.
Four.
Because they've played Ospreys at home, they've played Leinster at home, they've played someone else at home as well.
Ospreys and
Connacht. Glasgow and Zebre.
In Conference A, Ospreys and Connacht only have one win.
Yep.
And in Conference B, Southern Kings have no wins. Everyone else has won at least two games out of six. So it's still the familiar people towards the top. Glasgow, Munster, Scarlets, Ulster, Leinster. But it's looking really good. And it's interesting when you look at the Premiership, the Avicii Premiership as well. Six games, I think, is a time when you can take stock a little bit and have a look. And I think when you look at the table, there's two teams that if you swapped them round, it's exactly where you'd probably expect. So if you swap Newcastle in fourth with Wasps in tenth, it would then read Saracens, Exeter, Northampton, Wasps, but it's Newcastle, Bath, Leicester, Quins, Gloucester, Sale, then it would be Newcastle, but it's Wasps, Irish, Worcester. So the table pretty much looks, as a lot of people might have predicted, maybe Northampton slightly higher than you would have thought.
Yeah.
But Newcastle and Wasps kind of traded places a little bit from where some people, the smart money, may have been pre-season.
So I think we all did put Saracens and Exeter top two.
Yeah.
And we also put Worcester and London Irish as the bottom two.
Yeah.
And we did say kind of
Quins, Gloucester, Sale.
In between there, yeah. Quins, Gloucester, Sale would be 7th, 8th, 9th, 10th.
I definitely called Wasps going backwards. Probably not to this extent, though.
Yeah. I'm not sure anyone did, but I think the as we've already said, the injuries does make a big difference.
Right, can we just address
the worrying thing for Wasps is 140 points scored.
Yeah.
Bearing in mind...
That is genuinely worrying.
The firepower.
Where do you stand on this chat about injuries at the moment? So the chat I'm referring to is people saying the law changes or law variations have made it more dangerous, hence the epidemic, as it's been known, of injuries.
Are the injuries, is it just that there's more high profile names getting injured, or is it that there's more injuries?
Well,
I'm not so sure there's more injuries, because this time last year Bath were in an absolute, had a shocking injury list. I think Leicester this time last year had a really bad injury list themselves.
So the argument goes that the new law variations have added X amount of tackles to a game.
50 extra collisions per game was the figure that was muted by the Times.
Yes. Now, and because of that, all these players are now getting injured. And I'm not sure I buy it.
Well, Phil's a man of statistics, and he will understand that there's a difference between
correlation and causation. Yeah.
Right. Okay.
So just because you say there's more injuries, and there's also slightly different, there's slightly more tackles, doesn't mean one is causing the other.
Well, I'd also say, if we want to find out what a game with loads of tackles looks like, why don't we go and see what is happening in rugby league? Because you would know exactly if the injury rate goes up or down, because that's all they do is collisions.
Well, yes. Sam Burgess went from making like 30 carries and 30 tackles a game to half a dozen of each.
Exactly. So I think it's very unfortunate a lot of lads are going down. And maybe the game is just more physical, full stop. But I don't believe it is the new rule variations, because we've got a perfect test case up the M62.
Also, how many of those extra injuries are as a result of the, quite rightly, concussion protocols which have been brought in and extended, which wouldn't have been there 5 years ago?
I don't know is the answer.
That is probably another very good point. Now, have either of you seen, I'm guessing you've not, Andy McGeady's take on this?
Who's Andy McGeady?
He is a sports writer.
Okay.
Does some stuff for the Irish Times, but quite vocal on Twitter. Very, very interesting writer.
Yeah.
He's done an in-depth analysis of this. He actually says early on in his piece that I'm kind of sceptical of the Times position that there are more collisions and there are more worse injury rates.
Yeah.
So he's pulled together a load of stats, and he has shown that they're based on the first six games of the season, which is a very small amount, and it's in better conditions, therefore you're going to get the ball in play more, you're going to get fewer stoppages, and so on. But there has been an increased number of tackles and rucks, basically. Not to the tune of the full 50 that the Times are saying, but there's been a small number. But like you said right off the bat, Tim, correlation and causation, you can't necessarily say one is leading to the other, because it's working out at a very low percentage increase, and that very low percentage increase is then spread across the 23 players who are making these additional tackles and carries and hitting rucks. So it's the same as saying the average player is making one, maybe two more collisions per game.
Mm.
And how much... So your average player can range from doing 6 to 10, well, less than 10 to more than 30 in a single game. So I just don't see how such a small change in the statistics can significantly determine that. That's something that...
And also, there's the kind of quantity... And when I say quality, I don't mean good or bad. I mean like the intensity, the physicality. So I would say, yeah, there's definitely more breakdowns and rucks, but there's a lot more uncontested rucks.
Mm. Yeah.
Due to the law changes.
Yeah.
Which just a player arriving, standing over the ball, but not having to take a hit.
To do anything. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I think...
That's a very good point.
I think there will always be more... The ball will be in play more at the start of the season.
I think a lot of this writing about player welfare is almost like to point out who cares more. So like that's why there's so many welfare articles, because they're all jockeying for position for the grittiest article about how caring they are, and they all want to be the guy who is the expose guy. And it's just a bit boring now. I mean, it's a dangerous game.
I think the one statistical fact that is probably relevant here, which is indisputable, is players are bigger and stronger and faster than they've ever been.
Yeah, I mean,
and that is the trend that has only gone in one direction and has a direct implication on how big the actual contacts are and the likelihood of an injury, I would say.
Yeah, and actually, I'd say more contacts will probably lead to smaller players eventually.
Well, yeah. So
more ball in play time will lead to smaller players.
I think it'll be interesting. You're not going to determine that for like 15, 20 years, I don't think. But you will look back and you might see a tipping point for some of the law changes, which meant that the ball was in play more often, to actually like a plateau of player sizes when it's not just necessarily bigger is better, but you need them to be big and fit and have the endurance. So...
There must be...
Usain Bolt could run 100 metres once, but he couldn't do what, say, Christian Wade can do, or Johnny May or someone like that, and do it over and over and over again in the 78th minute if he needs to make a break. Do it that way.
Johnny May, by the way, got to have that England 11 shirt.
Oh, I've got a question for you.
I think so. Based on form, yeah.
Johnny May, 6 tries, 6 games. What is the record for consecutive tries? Well, actually, just consecutive tries is one, but also consecutive tries from your debut.
Consecutive tries from debut.
Yeah.
I will go Thomas Waldrum, 7.
Is this all leagues or is this Aviva? Well,
top leagues. So just the Premiership in the top 14, please.
Oh, okay. It's not Thomas Waldrum then.
I don't know. Is he on the start?
Yeah. It's got to be.
Oh, you don't know? I thought you were going to tell us.
No. It's a question. I want to know. I want to know.
Were you
answer.
Expecting
a reverse
me to
quiz?
Know the answer?
A reverse quiz.
I want the listeners to get back to me.
Oh, okay. All right. The way you were looking at me and Tim, I thought you were going to tell us.
No.
Okay.
I do not know. But if you can find out for me, because there must be a record out there somewhere from the day of signing to whenever this craziness stops. Well, I was going to mention something else then, as we were debunking rugby myths, but I can't remember. Never mind.
So, one thing I have just done is...
Well, I would say Johnny May is confirming Phil's myth that he is consistently world-class.
Well, he wasn't consistently world-class when Phil made the claim.
No, I said he was, but he's not playing in a team that is consistently world-class.
Well, Leicester aren't even a consistently world-class team.
No, but
Johnny May is.
Oh, well, I want to give a little shout for the plucky London Irish getting that bonus point. That could be really important.
Yeah, and I thought 40 minutes gone, I thought London Irish were going to get beyond the end of a hiding.
And bearing in mind I was playing you in fantasy rugby draft this week, when you had George Ford in your team, I was very, very worried that he was going to have a monster weekend.
Yeah, he did well, but not well enough.
Is he captain now?
Yeah. He was yesterday,
yeah.
I can't imagine him being a good captain.
He's kind of the...
Because he captained Bath too, and I assume that was some sort of like sympathy votes to try and make him stay.
Well, I think you saw in the World Cup 2015... when he went over and he was right in the middle of that little with Robshaw, he was sort of the more dominant louder voice when they were deciding whether to kick for the corner or kick for post.
I guess because he's small and because he's got quite boyish looks. I don't consider him, you know, very, you know, like very leadery. You know, I like my leaders like Martin Johnson sort of thing.
Yeah.
But on the other hand,
enormous and rugged.
Yeah, he's done nothing but rugby from the age of, you know, from basically probably conceived on a rugby field, right? So, or at least after a rugby social. so like he probably knows everything there is to know about the game, the strategy, and everything else.
He will have seen so many brilliant leaders.
Yeah,
like
yeah.
If he's, because I know as a kid he travelled with his dad. He's worked. He was as a kid round all the players that his dad was coaching.
Yeah.
So,
and he's what, he's 13 stone wet, and he deals with big number eights like Nathan Hughes running at him every day. So he's he might look like he's in a boy band, but
they are.
He's got a bit of something.
Yeah.
Well, you know, you don't captain Leicester Tigers easily.
Yes.
This is true. And Matt O'Connor just very, you know, at the end went, we're getting better. We're not a bad footy team.
There's some stat about this is their best consecutive group of games that they've had since like 2014 or something.
So they won their last four?
Yeah.
It's a weird league. Isn't this year's odd.
It's, yeah, the only kind of consistency is the inconsistency of half the teams.
Hmm.
By the way, I've just, because I was looking at the, going to get to the fixtures, I just went to the BBC Sport website and the Rugby Union page. Okay, so Jamie George had an outstanding match, played very well, scored a hat-trick. Look at the picture BBC have picked of him. Could they pick a less flattering picture of Jamie George?
Ooh.
Oh, that's horrible.
He's not a bad-looking man, Jamie George, either.
When you're up close, he's not a bad-looking man.
That is a grisly picture.
That is a horrific picture.
Oh, who
I mean, don't get me wrong, he's no Sean Maitland.
Well, do you remember debating the most handsome men in Saracens?
Oh, yeah, who did we debate that with?
With
Sean Maitland, wasn't it?
No, it wasn't.
You got some handsome chaps there in Lauren. That team.
Oh, was it?
Yeah.
Who did we go for? Sean Maitland.
Maitland, Scout Brits, Marrow.
Oh, yeah.
Hold on, well, I wasn't part of this discussion.
Because you weren't in Philadelphia, mate?
Oh, let's have a look. I've got their player profiles here. Who did you go for?
So, Scout Brits, Maitland, Marrow was in there.
Marrow is quite handsome, actually.
Yeah, Marrow is handsome.
Yeah. Yeah.
He's I think I've seen him in the flesh as well.
Alex Zazowski, part of your discussion?
I don't think he was, actually.
He's got some sort of boy bandy look, kind of looks.
No, I think Maitland pretty much...
They're a funny-looking bunch, actually, when you look at all the pictures. Like
Callum Clark. Very handsome.
Yes, I was just going to say Callum Clark. Yeah. Looking at him now, yeah.
Yeah.
Chiseled, like a proper granite jaw.
Mm. Yeah. I'm going number
what's
one...
What's Marcello Bosch like?
Oh, hang on. Oh. That's a different... So, you know, if he was, say, from Birmingham, right, you'd say, absolutely not. But when he's there, sipping some sort of hard liquor...
Yeah.
Sat on a bar stool.
Sipping bourbon.
Sat on a bar stool. With one side of him is Kieran Longbottom, but the other side is all-time world legend Scout Berger, and they're watching the boxing. You're going to go 11 out of 10.
Just scroll down that. They've got some... They've got some players with distinguishing features. I'll put it like that.
Lazowski should definitely be in the conversation.
Definitely.
Actually. 100%.
You go in Maitland... Clark.
Maitland, Clark, Scout Brits, Lazowski, and Marrow.
Marrow, yeah.
That's
Fab,
it.
Fab five. Right.
Baz Berrington just misses out.
Sorry, Baz.
Next week, we'll be doing London Irish's fittest players. So we've got a chuck and swim for the women, for the girls
yeah,
as well, although we appreciate it as well.
Oh, go. Absolutely.
There we go. That's how we can involve our other halves in the podcast. It's been really important.
Exactly.
Can you pick the five hottest in this team, please?
Well, my wife loves Morgan Power.
Oh, yeah, she
does. Loves Anna Lee Halfpenny.
Yeah, really into
both, both very dissimilar to yourself.
Yeah.
This is true. Very true.
Yeah, she's got a sweet spot for Louis Pickermalls as well.
You're Tom Voice, mate.
Oh, no. Right, come on. Let's actually do some fixtures.
Games next week. So we're not going to do the Challenge Cup. Apologies if your team is in the Challenge Cup.
I think that's only right. If you can't be bothered to be good enough to get in the top six of your domestic league.
Although, I will mention one Challenge Cup game because I'll be going to it. Toulouse are coming to the Northwest.
Oh,
how cool is that?
That is quite cool.
The winningest European rugby team of all time.
Aristocracy in the AJ Bell.
So the only
how many people do you reckon will turn up for that?
Oh, that'll be a lot, mate.
How many were there at their last home game?
It's quite a lot.
Ignoring what they say, the official attendance is.
No, it felt like there was actually quite a few there, be fair.
Good.
Maybe 5,000, 6,000?
And also, Bordeaux are doing quite well in the French League and they travel to NSI. So that's another one I will watch out for. We should mention the
lower NSI,
We should mention the underdogs.
Mm. There is also, it's always good to get the Challenge Cup because you get a Thursday night game.
Yes.
So Gloucester travel to Pau for the Thursday night
game. Pau. Who are Section Palois?
That's Pau.
Pau. Oh, that is Pau.
I love it when the French clubs have names which you don't realise.
I know.
It's cool, isn't it? Right, go on. So,
right. Let's get into it. So, Friday night.
Yeah.
My proud Ulsterman.
Have you selected a game of the
week? Oh, I'm working this game, Phil.
Are you? Yeah. Over at the Kingspan?
Yeah, I'm at Ravenhill.
The Kingspan, mate.
Kingspan, Ravenhill.
Have you decided a game of the week before, for the end?
Yes.
Okay, just done it. Go.
Yeah, I've just done it in my head as well. I bet we'll pick the same one.
There's two on Saturday afternoon that will be very interesting. But anyway, so let's go through them. So Ulster host Wasps. Now, I'm medium confident with this, particularly given how Wasps played this weekend.
Mm-hmm.
I think we can do it. I think Stockers will be running a few tries.
I think I was off my Wasps prediction by 1 point.
What did you say?
I think, what did it finish?
So I was off by, I said 20 points.
How was
points
your Sale Sharks prediction?
I said 20 points as well,
How was your Sale Sharks prediction? Weren't they going to hammer Quinns?
Well, you know, if it wasn't for the magic of the two halfbacks, they would have given them a bit of a bloody nose, but it happens.
So I'm going to say Ulster are going to win this by a converted try, 7 points.
I think Ulster are going to hammer them, actually. Away at Ravenhill. Ulster playing well, Wasps playing terribly.
We don't tend to hammer anyone, though.
I don't think Ulster will hammer them.
Never hammer anyone.
Gopeth will be back in. Nathan Hughes will be back in.
Nathan Hughes is in, you've got Wasps have a chance. Otherwise, they're going to be.
How far is. I need to. 10 points. Senses. Lova Belavu, how far is he off? Anyway.
Don't know.
Anyway, so I think it will be Ulster by a few points, not many. Five.
Fingers crossed. Then. So. Should we do this in pool order rather than chronological order?
Don't mind.
That was pool one. Also in pool one, 5:30 kickoff. Quinn's host, Atlantique, Stade
Rochelle.
La Rochelle.
Quinn's will win because French teams don't travel.
Okay.
La Rochelle doing some good things. They beat someone good this week.
They beat a lot of people good.
Yeah. But yeah, Quinn's, Quinn's at home.
Is Ryan Lamb starting fly half still?
No idea.
No, it was Brock James for the game.
Yeah. How do you know that? Did you watch it?
I looked some point recently. Some of the rugby I've tried to absorb this weekend included me acknowledging that Brock James started for La Rochelle.
Wow.
But I can't remember who they played.
Okay, so Quinn's at home.
Yes, Quinn's at home.
Oh, Dimitri Kachikelis would have liked to have played that. Anyway.
Yeah.
Pool two.
So pool two,
we
jump to Sunday. I've got them down both listed as 5:30 on Sunday, but I'm sure that's not right. But anyway, Saracens travel to Franklin's Gardens to face Northampton Saints, which I think will be a Saracens win.
Mm-hmm.
And Ospreys host Clermont, which I think will be a Clermont win.
Agreed.
Pool three. Now, Tim, is your game of the week coming out of pool three?
Yeah.
Interesting. Is it the earlier or the latter game?
The latter one for me.
Okay, I can go. I can definitely get on board for that.
Yeah.
Very
So the
1 o'clock kickoff.
The 1 o'clock kickoff. Leinster host Montpellier.
Wow.
Which in itself could be a game of the week.
Yes. A great game.
Well, I know. Why don't we do both of them as it?
Yeah.
A game pool, of the week?
Pool of the week.
Pool of the week. Here you go. Oh, wrong one.
Hey. With LeoVegas.com, you could get... We're very proud to have Leo Vegas as our sponsors of the Egg Chasers podcast, and we're definitely recommending them to you for the brilliant rugby offers they have. Not just rugby, they do other sports as well, but they love their rugby, as you'll see on the back of Leicester Tigers shorts when Leicester play Racing 92 this weekend. They sponsor Leicester Tigers, they sponsor Egg Chasers, so they clearly know what they're doing when it comes to rugby. You can trust them to give you good deals, good offers, good options and all the rest of it to make the weekend a little bit better, have a little bit of a flutter. So our pool of the week is pool 3 in the European Rugby Champions Cup, 1 o'clock kickoff, Leinster Montpellier, as we mentioned. Tasty,
very very tasty.
I just think that Montpellier are going to be too massive for most teams.
So Leinster, so I'm just thinking back, Leinster travelled to Clermont last year, or certainly played Clermont in France in the semi-final, didn't they? And I'm not sure the size of Clermont was what did it for them. It was more the intensity that Clermont had in that first half.
Sorry, I said Montpellier. I meant Clermont. Yeah. Well, yes, no, that's good.
Yeah, so this is Leinster Montpellier. Yeah. But that game was Leinster Clermont.
Oh, right. Okay.
So you did say Montpellier, and you did mean Montpellier.
Good.
They have a front five that are international class.
Montpellier.
Which will handle Montpellier.
Oh, Leinster. They've got an international in virtually every position.
Yeah.
If you're massive and you're organised, you're incredibly hard to stop. Incredibly hard.
Leinster at home for
it's
me.
It's so hard to say, isn't it? Because Leinster can score points, and that's the thing.
So, Johnny Sexton's become the biggest point scorer of all time for Leinster. Over the weekend, they did lose to Cheetahs away, but just at home, Leinster at home.
And it wasn't
this Europe. All they care about is Europe. They don't really care about the Pro 14.
No, not really. I'm gonna go with Montpellier by 5.
So I can say Montpellier, they're currently sitting third, actually, in the top 14, but behind Lyon and Toulouse. But they have scored comfortably the most points in the league, so that will be interesting. But like Tim said, Leinster have got quality, so international quality right throughout that team. They're very experienced of playing together, and because of the Pro 14, they are able to rest some of their players.
I mean, I don't know who's starting for them and who's playing at the moment, but I know some of the names. I mean, they only need to get over your game line a couple of times, and they're going to cause havoc. And some people like Pickamoles, they've got the enormous winger, what's his name?
Nemani Nadolo.
Yeah. Then the halfbacks are absolute quality.
That is possibly the one area I would say about Leinster that I'm not completely convinced is their wing area. They've got lots of promising players coming through, guys like Adam Byrne, but I don't actually think they're that kind of finishing. If it comes down to needing to take that one chance when it's on offer, I'm not sure Leinster are as good as they have been in the past.
Yeah.
Fergus McFadden, Barry Daly, Adam Byrne. I don't know.
Yeah.
Probably a good point there, mate.
I think you're probably right on that point. I just think they'll have enough.
I think they probably will.
So another change, Montpellier by 7.
They're playing Joey Carberry at fullback a lot, aren't they?
Yeah. Who's a handy fullback.
Yeah.
So give me Leinster at home by 3.
Okay, next game
is the other Pool 3 game.
Tasty.
At 7:45, Exeter host Glasgow.
Oof.
So Glasgow unbeaten in the Pro 14, only unbeaten team in Europe.
But it's a hobby league, right?
Yeah. So they've got to go.
So one second.
No. It's now the holiday league.
So Glasgow, they just played the Cheetahs, didn't they?
Yeah.
In South Africa.
Oh, that's a great point.
So they'll be travelling back over the weekend.
Holiday league away weekend.
Yeah, so that's not going to be good for them. So they will have spent 3 days travelling in the last week, and then have to travel down to Exeter, which is not the easiest place to get to. Give me Exeter at home. Glasgow to lose their first game this season.
Yeah, I tend to think Exeter as well at home. Damn good team. Yeah, definitely, actually.
Hold on. This must be a mistake on the team sheet that I'm looking at. It has Adam Hastings listed as number 8 for Glasgow.
Adam Hastings, the fly half who played at Bath.
Well, according to that, unless there's a different Adam Hastings, that must be wrong. I was BBC in it. They don't know the rugby.
Oh, they.
Maybe they're playing him like a rugby league hooker. That would make sense.
Let me just have a look at the team sheet I've got. No, Adam Ash played number 8.
That would be more likely.
Well, it's got three of the same letters. Ash is A-S and H are in Hastings. So you can...
Easy mistake to make.
They just added tings to it. There you go. Anyway, I think Exeter at home. Not by a lot, but I cannot wait for this game.
It'll be a brilliant game because both teams... So they got very good, well-drilled packs, and they both want to play rugby.
They play fairly similar in a lot of ways. I mean, I think Glasgow are a little bit more attacking. They'll attack from basically anywhere. Secret to that is the quality of their ruck. But Exeter are a fantastic rucking team. I mean, their basics are so, so good. If you want to get the ball off a team, probably the hardest one to do it against is Exeter. So I expect there's going to be a huge amount of possession in big blocks to both teams.
Oh, I can't wait for that.
Having said that, Exeter in a high scoring game by 3.
Yeah, it's not going to be a
lot. Yeah, Exeter by 5, I think.
Tim?
We're all going for the Chiefs.
Chiefs. Then on to pool 4.
Uh-huh.
There's Racing hosting Leicester at 3:15 on Saturday.
Give me Leicester.
In Paris?
Yeah.
How are Racing getting on?
They are, I'll tell you now, French top 14. Mid-table. Yeah. They're 8 out of 14. They've...
won some home games and lost some away games,
They've scored... I mean,
they're basically a bunch of drunken charlatans. I expect the Tigers to be able to go over there and do something if they're serious.
They got pumped there last year.
Yeah, when Racing had nothing to play for as well. So I think Racing.
I think Racing at home just, but that's going to be close as well.
Yeah.
Oh, some really tasty matchups.
Next one.
So the other Pool 4 game is on Sunday afternoon, and it's Cast against Munster. Munster travel to Cast.
No idea.
So, I think Munster can do this.
Perhaps. I don't know anything about Cast.
So, they are 11th at the moment in the top 14, won 2 out of 7 games.
Lost to Brive at the weekend away. Beat Claremont at home last weekend.
Excuse me.
That's an interesting result. So.
I feel like Theresa May. Dang you.
Well, I'll get off topic a minute.
Yeah.
Anyone else think it was like, right, take politics off the table. It's like, it's someone coughing. Like giving someone so much stick for coughing, I thought was a bit ridiculous.
I'm glad you feel that way at the moment, Tim.
Good.
So we're not giving you any stick.
Yes, exactly.
Was Erdi Paletta? Who did he used to play for?
River Plate.
Huh?
I don't know, mate. Erdi Paletta.
Erdi Paletta.
Is he an Argentinian?
Sounds like an Argentine.
He's Cast fly half.
Oh, yeah, right.
They hammered.
Who did he play for?
Oh, Greg Laidlaw played in that game. Is he going to be playing for Claremont this weekend?
Maybe.
Presumably, if Parra's fit, he'll start.
You think. Anyway.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, give me Munster.
Yeah.
And then the final pool, pool 5, Bath host Benetton. 5:30 on
Saturday.
How much
would you love Benetton to win this? I mean, how much would it... I would just love it.
Well, we should keep a little tally. How did it go? The Avicii v Pro 14, we should keep a little tally going.
Oh, yeah. We did have it.
Just on those two. In fact, Phil, start a little spreadsheet. We'll do We'll do Avicii versus Pro 14, Avicii versus Top 14, Pro 14 versus Top 14.
Yes.
Excellent. I'm thinking that Bath switch off because they don't think Benetton are up so much. Injury's taking its toll anyway. Don't want to risk any more senior players. They put out basically some academy boys and Benetton spanked them. Anyone disagree with that?
If it was in Italy, I could probably go with that, but it's Bath at home, isn't it?
Even better.
I think Bath might get a bit of a shock. I don't think they'll get that much of a shock.
Bath by 30.
Yeah, Bath are going to win.
Is
relatively comfortable.
Okay.
It was a bad knock, wasn't it?
Yeah.
It didn't look good. Yeah, he got his head in the wrong place with... Yeah. So, we're all saying Bath.
Mm.
Final game. Toulon hosting Scarlets.
Toulon hosting Scarlets. Well, okay, so I would always usually have said this is going to be an absolute hiding and Scarlets will get the beatdown of their life. I don't think that this is the case. Nope. I think Scarlets... they're away at Toulon, yeah?
Yeah.
I...
Now, given that they went over to Leinster in the semi-final last year, semi-final of the league,
mm.
and won fairly comfortably, I don't think they should have anything to
And also, when is the last time that Toulon played against such an attacking team? They play in the top 14.
Yeah, very rarely.
I'm going to go an upset here. I think Scarlets will win it.
So I think Toulon will grind out a victory. I think they will be shocked on a couple of occasions, mostly by Steph Evans.
Yes. Who? Exactly. You'll soon find out, boys.
Yeah. No, they will never have heard of Steph Evans, and he'll put a few tries on him, I think.
Toulon at home.
Yeah. Give me Toulon just in probably a quite high-scoring game.
What teams are turning out for Toulon at the minute? You said Vincent Clerc is there. He's not starting, though, is he?
He started some of the early games this season. Thing is, Luke McAllister's there. Obviously, Bastereau and Nonu. They got this. Is it Bello, this young French fly half, who's been playing?
Don't know, mate. Couldn't tell you. I'm just going to go with a Scarlets win.
Scarlets win.
Okay.
Wow.
Right, that's it.
Right, nice one. Facebook page for the tour to Spain. And to watch the video.
Yeah, so this is what you've got to do, okay? And you have to do this. You've got to go onto the Facebook page, register your interest. We've got a couple of venues which I have decided upon, all of varying sizes. So I need to get a gauge of how many people exactly want to come. We want to be way, way bigger than the Romania trip. So get on that Facebook page, register your interest, and there'll be tickets available very, very soon.
I wish we could tell people what the special surprise is, but we can't, no.
Yes, and it might be more than one special surprise. It might be multiple special surprises.
Ooh.
Exactly. And yeah, you'll be there for it all if you bring yourself to Madrid.
Facebook.com/eggchasers. find out the information there on the little event we've got set up. And yeah, follow, share, tell your mates, and let the boys play.
Let the boys play.
Let the boys play.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.